How do you see the evolution from past to nowadays of the competition in electronic music industry? Who's your favourite artist of all time? Why do I listen to music? Thanks for the info on the Audient interface. I got the ID22 and wow. Sorry, not going to be calling it an office. That sounds unutterably depressing. Hey guys, welcome to the Kane Audio Vlog. It is Friday. It's time for another Ask Me Anything. Usual rules apply. Comment anything you want below this video and I'll get back to you in next week's video. Before I look at last week's video, I don't think there's really any house admin, but in terms of an update of what I've been doing this week, I've been carrying on with the build of the new garden office, studio, whatever you want to call it. I'm kind of hesitant to call it a studio really because I think we use the word a bit too frivolously these days. You know, it's not a multi-million dollar recording environment. In fact, it's barely even soundproofed because I don't work particularly loud. It's more of a writing place. Anyway, yeah, so I haven't quite landed on what I'm calling it. I'm kind of calling it garden office at the minute, but I don't know. Anyway. So I've been doing that pretty much all week. Where was I last week? I was about to paint the interior. I'd painted the exterior. This week I have painted the interior, which was a bit of a nightmare and will continue to be a bit of a nightmare just because I've used sealant in some tiny cracks in between wood panels and the paint doesn't like that. And I've laid down the underfloor heating, the flooring, and I've put in place but not secured yet the trunking and sockets and electric wires and main supply, and I need to hook all of that up next. I'm getting there. I said last week that I wouldn't be filming my AMA from it this week, but potentially next week. Does that still remain true? Yeah, potentially. Potentially next week's AMA could be from inside. Not sure. Some of it depends on the weather, because hooking up the electrics is probably the main thing. Also, I have told myself I'm not putting any of my equipment in there until I have made it Fort Knox, and I'm still looking and choosing on which alarm system and CCTV to use. So if any of you have any recommendations, then let me know. I think that's it. There's no update to the 5302 playlist this week. I did touch on, and will only touch on again this week, that on the note of 5302, and more specifically the first release being my album, there will be an update on that, but just not quite yet. Where are we? Still beginning of June. Yeah, it'll be coming in a couple of weeks. I have started getting some demo submissions through as well, and some of which are insanely good. The bar is so high so far, and I'm so pleased with that. So watch this space, 5302.co.uk. I think that's it. So let's have a look and see the comments on last week's video. For anybody watching this at some point in the future, we're still in quarantine, kind of. There's still a lockdown because of coronavirus. In England, at least, they're really starting to lift the restrictions unnecessarily and perhaps foolishly. So who knows where that's going. So I hope everyone watching this is staying safe and sensible, because just because the rules don't stop you from doing certain things, that doesn't mean that you should do those certain things. Just stay sensible, just be careful. And also in the world over the pond in the States, there are big riots going on. And while I don't think anybody agrees with looting, which is what is also going on, please don't let that distract you from the more important fact that people are being wrongfully murdered over there, and the perpetrators are getting away with a lot of it, and that in itself is an absolute travesty. And I think we all need to unite together and show our support in any way that we can, whether that be calling people out on their attitudes, or being all the more vocal to our governments and showing support there. There are lots of things we can do on a small scale and a big scale. We should do them all. So, without wanting to make this too much of a political channel, that's that in terms of updates. So, I can see there's a few questions here. Let's have a look. FanFan87, Saludom, Feet, High Five, or Feet, F-E-A-T, I don't know, so wrote both. It was actually F-E-E-T. You say you're a poor musician, ironically-ish, I get it. That leads me to my main question. How do you see the evolution from past to nowadays of the competition in electronic music industry between producers, brands? I saw a video from one of the main CEO of a very famous French radio saying, electronic music producers and DJs, financial situation has become more and more precarious. We need a decent status for them. Thoughts? Yeah, so it's kind of a tricky one. I think the music industry as a whole, and I think this will always be the case with TV, music, arts, culture, stuff, the top 1% earn 90% of the money. I think that's a given, and I think, you know, there's a huge discrepancy, a huge gap between the guys at the top earning millions and the guys down at the bottom earning pennies. Has it really changed? I don't think that has changed necessarily. I think for electronic musicians, everything's become a bit more accessible, which has made competition perhaps more difficult. But the fact that it's more accessible, that anybody can access it, makes things a fairer playing field, I guess. So to put it into context, 25, 30 years ago, if you wanted to make a dance track, you would have needed to hire a studio with all the synths that you need, with all the recording equipment that you need, and that was not cheap. You needed an engineer to run those synthesizers. A vast majority of synths 30 years ago were analog, and they needed tuning, they needed warming up, they needed some serious engineer work just to get them working. If you wanted to release something, it would be on vinyl. You know, to get the test presses, you'd need serious financial backing. So the point I'm trying to make is that none of this was free. To make a dance track, you couldn't just, you know, make a dance track. It didn't happen like that. You needed to have connections, you needed to have friends in the right places, you needed to have money. It was very much for the privileged few. Even dance music, which we all kind of think as this sort of, you know, grassroots movement, which I'm not taking away from that. It was a grassroots movement, but compared to today, I think it's very different. Whereas now, you know, anybody with a laptop or even a phone, dare I say it, a smartphone, you can pretty much make music. So So I think the playing field is a lot fairer now. But because of that, the competition has become much more fierce. I also feel like when I first set up a record label many, 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 many years ago, nearly 20 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that, again, it was a different world then. So, you know, we released on vinyl and we kind of knew that we'd make some profit even if we didn't sell everything. You know, it was a fairly healthy industry. Whereas now, putting together a new record label, it's you couldn't, I wouldn't just sign a track, release it, and there we go, job done. Because that's not going to make any money. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to have any impact. It's not going to get any exposure, which is what people seem to mistake for money these days. So I've had to think of different avenues and different routes of how, you know, let's be honest, at the end of the day, I'll talk about 5302. I want it to be a successful business. I want it to operate as a business. Therefore, I want it to make money. You know, I don't want it to be a non-profit. So there are different avenues that I've had to explore to be able to try and make that revenue. And I don't know if it's going to work. Ask me again in 5 years' time. But yeah, I think there are just different ways of making money in the industry. And this is what I'm trying to sort of touch on here in answering your question. Yes, the situation has become more precarious, but equally it's become fairer. And I think it's... there's a transition period where I think, you know, 10 years ago, electronic musicians were kind of disregarded as not musicians. And because it was so grassroots, I think people went into the industry not knowing anything. So, for example, I still speak to a lot of DJs today who write their own tracks and they play their own tracks and they gig a fair amount. They're not super famous, but they play, you know, some smaller festivals. They play some fairly big nightclubs, you know. And I quite often ask them, well, do you put your cue sheets and everything on PRS? And they're like, no. And I keep going, well, are you playing your own music? Yeah. Well, you do realise you can make money from that. So not only are you making money from the gig, you know, and I don't care whether it's £100 or £1,000, but if you're performing your own music to an audience of people in public, then you are due performance royalties for that. And, you know, you need to look into that. So advice to anyone here, you know, there's lots of little avenues like that where you can make money. If you've got your gig and you're getting paid £50, you could probably make another £50 or so from royalties, you know. So yeah, and there are so many people in the electronic music industry that they just don't know this because they've not come from a traditional musician or a traditional music industry background. And because we live in a world where you can just have your mobile phone or a laptop and make music and then publish it and, you know, release it on whatever, iTunes, so easily, people don't stop to ask questions and people don't stop to go, well, do I need a license for this? What about mechanical royalties? What about mechanical licensing and all of these things? So that's, I guess, touching on how I'm trying to make 5302 different, which I'm trying to wedge in to answer your question for some self-promotion. There we go. Sub-question. What would be your opinion if DJs and producers found a syndicate in order to exit precariousness and put pressure on the industry to make their life better and have a global decent social situation? Cheers. Have a good coffee. Cheers. You too. So there are a couple of affiliations. And so, for example, a friend of mine Mark runs an association affiliates of electronic musicians. And that's like a union, but it's a paid membership system. And I think therein lies one of the issues for a lot of people is that, you know, like I was just saying, people that start at grassroots and they're just doing everything themselves on their laptop, you know, they might not have membership fees for a lot of these places. And even, is it PPL, I think you have to pay for to join and to get coverage for royalties and whatever. And, you know, and if you don't know what royalties are available, why are you going to spend money on that? So a lot of it comes down to education. I don't mean education like school. I mean just knowledge, general knowledge of the industry, which is why I think record labels have an important place in the world still, because they should, and I mean real record labels, not, you know, 2-bit record labels, but real record labels should have people on board who know the industry inside out and they know how things work, whether it be from contracts to royalties to mechanical distributions and all sorts of things like that. I think it would be a good idea for there to be some sort of syndicate. I'm sure it's called the Association. I should have looked it up beforehand if I'd have pre-read the question. Association for Electronic Musicians. And again, like I say, they sort of look after, you know, you can join as a musician or as a record label or whatever and get support, whether it be legal support or whatever. So they do exist, but I think it's still early days. And you've got to remember, electronic music has not been around that long in the grand scheme of things. You know, the synthesizer compared to the violin are two very, very different eras. But I think we're at a point now where they're kind of merging, and I think people are starting to accept that electronic musicians are still musicians, that a drum machine is a musical instrument, not a computer. I hope some of that made sense. And on that note as well, I think there's also things like Facebook groups, like the Kane Audio Producer Group, which anyone and everyone is welcome to come and join, and it is free. And I quite often see people asking questions on there and having answers, and I think everybody on there is very helpful. So, feel free to join that. Not Your Human, Feet, high five. Have a great weekend, Dom. Thank you, you too. Bill Carroll, good to hear the playlist is changing. Keep it changing, and no need for an archive, in my humble opinion. Smell my feet, high five, said Peter McKinnon in a light Canadian accent. I'm not even going to attempt that. Questions 1. Who's your favourite artist of all time? Favourite track of all time, along with current for each? I don't think that's a question I could ever answer. Favourite artist of all time is like saying favourite film of all time. I just don't think I can do that. I could say, you know, top 5 in a specific genre, whether it be film or artist. And even then, ask me again in 6 months and it might be a different answer. And I kind of don't want to commit to a favourite artist of all time. I've always had a lot of respect for my mum, for obvious reasons. She's my mum. I love her. But musically, I always had a lot of respect for my mum because I remember as a kid, everyone else's mums were stuck in the 60s and 70s. So it was either the Beatles or Elvis or ABBA or whatever. My mum liked, I mean, she didn't like Beatles, Elvis or ABBA, but she liked some disco, she liked some rock, whatever. But she loved a lot of, you know, U2, Pink Floyd, whatever, and opera and classical and jazz and you name it. So I was sort of brought up on things like Herbie Hancock or, you know, Miles Davis, but she also loved dance music and techno and whatever there was, you know, any new music. She never got stuck in that era of whatever she was supposed to like. And I think, you know, you see a lot of people of a certain age, you know, people who were born in the 80s, they love 80s or 90s music. You know, people who were born in the 60s, they love 70s music because that was their teenage years. And it was like that was where they reached the peak, and then they just never moved on from there. And I hope that never happens to me, because I hope I continue to like new music. So in terms of who my favourite artist is, I hope that always kind of changes, because if I have just one favourite artist, best all time ever, I can stop looking. I can stop listening to new music. I just listen to that artist forever. And I think that's how I see favourites. And so, yeah, so I've never really managed to go, yeah, this thing, this person, this band, this whatever is my all-time favourite. So again, you know, if we want to talk about genres, then, you know, things like prog rock, I'm going to say Pink Floyd are the first ones that come to mind. But there are plenty of others, you know, whether it be more recently Manchester Orchestra, you know, or people like that. And if you've not heard of them, look up the song Silence. It's just beautiful. You know, or the Mighty Grande Rio, you know. So there's a whole host of different bands or whatever. And I think because I like everything from prog rock to reggae to ska to clearly dance music, yeah, I don't know if I can pin it down to an artist. What effect does the work of your favourite artists, past and present, have on you? So, yeah, this is going to be a chain reaction, isn't it? I think I'm going to say, so in terms of current favourites, whatever I'm currently listening to a lot of, I think there's a huge influence in a lot of my work. And I think, you know, so I mentioned prog rock, for example. Well, you know, I write progressive house, and there's that progressive elements, and that's one of the reasons why I like prog rock. And I think, you know, there's elements of everything I like, you know, for example, a lot of jazz. And if you listen to my past few EPs on Mousetrap, there's a lot of playing with notes. Clearly it's not jazz, I'm not suggesting I'm anywhere near that good, but there is clearly some playing with notations and playing with music theory and you know, tiptoeing around the boundaries of the rules, you know, and I think that's kind of an influence of jazz. So this is one of the reasons why I've always said to people to, you know, listen to all genres, listen to a bit of everything, listen to something, and if you're feeling uninspired, listen to something that's just the total opposite of what you do. If you write drum and bass and you consider yourself a drum and bass producer and you feel a bit uninspired one day, you know, listen to some some jazz, you know, because you'll hear just maybe some drum fills or something in the jazz, or you'll hear some walking bass line or something that's then going to make you go, that could work in a drum and bass track. And yeah, so there we go. I know you'll try to skip the AMA this coming week, and I challenge you not to. Why do you listen to music? Sorry. Yeah. Three, why do you listen to music? I know you'll try to skip the AMA this. No, I'm not trying to skip the AMA at all. Why do I listen to music? How do I answer that? Why do I listen to music? It's life. There's so many reasons. I could go on a deep, deep, deep childhood tangent. But approximately, it was always my escapism. It was always my comfort blanket. It was my security blanket. It was my happy place. It was everything. It was if I felt angry, if I felt tired, if I felt lonely, if I felt sad, if I felt happy, if I felt excited, if I felt elated, any of these things, music had the perfect accompaniment. It was the perfect accompaniment for all of those things, and still is to this day. And still, but even better now, because I'm an adult and in control of my life, and so I can write music to fit where I want to go, and that puts me in the driver's seat. So yeah, hopefully most of that makes sense and doesn't come across as cryptic, because I don't mean it as cryptic, but I just don't want to go down a whole big psychology rabbit hole. I think so. John Bloomfield. Hey, Dom. Feet. High five. Thanks for the info on the Audient interface. I got the ID22 and wow. Coming from an NI Complete 6, the quality is so noticeable. Also, if I need extra ins later, the Behringer ADAT interface looks very reasonable price. Have you noticed any drop in quality using Behringer? So I have their ADAT. I don't know if I mentioned that last week. But I haven't plugged it in for quite some time because I've been in this back room for so long. Ask me again in a few weeks when I've got the new studio up and running. I don't recall there being any drop in quality, but at the same time, I was always very conscious of really only sort of plugging in analog synths or old synths or whatever that were either going to go through distortion units or whatever anyway. So I don't think I gave it an opportunity to show itself under any particular light. So I wouldn't want to answer too committed one way or the other, if I'm honest, just because I don't know is the answer. But to be honest, I mean, Behringer have done some pretty good stuff, and for the price, it's pretty much unbeatable. So, especially with their new synths and stuff. So, I would say it's certainly worth a punt. So give it a go. Like I say, the alternative is Audient do one. So if you're looking for purest of pure, clean ADAT, then go with Audient. There's the A800, I think. It's called the A800. Go for that and you will not be disappointed. It's everything's just so transparent. But I am glad that you got the Audient interface, and I'm glad that you're happy with it, because I am too. So there we go. Lack of effect. Feet. High five. Hope you have a good weekend. You too. Cavokay. Cheers, Dom. Feet. High five. 5302 playlist just keeps getting better. Nils Fram says was a very welcome surprise. Personally, I'd love the archive version. The benefit is that you can just stick it on shuffle and you know you've got an effectively endless stream of amazing music. Unless it's any amount of additional work, in which case don't worry about it. It's really, really not. And in fact, I'm just going to open Spotify. We've got 90 seconds before my camera gives up on me. I'm just having a look at the length. 30 hours. Yeah, nearly 31 hours of music in there. So, I will probably, perhaps in next week, I'll come up with a link and do it. And so I won't permanently or permalink it, but then any followers of this channel can have a link to it, basically, because I'll be saying it in next week's. No question this week other than to ask how the garden studio is going. Sorry, not going to be calling it an office. That sounds unutterably depressing. Well, it depends what your job is. For me, an office is my fun space, isn't it? Because I love my job. I'm guessing you've probably already covered that in house admin, though. All the best and enjoy your week. Thank you very much. You too. I did cover it in house admin, I think, really. So the weather has turned this week, so not a major problem because I'm doing interior work, But I do have a consumer unit, a two-way consumer unit, so I can get 16 amps and 6 amps for electrics and lighting, respectively, that needs fitting to the back of the unit. And then I need to dig and lay an underground steel-armoured cable so I can get main supply from the house to the cabin. And I couldn't fit that in 90 seconds. So yes, I've got to lay the underground cable, and yes, I think I'm getting there slowly. I'm hoping that I may be doing next week's AMA from there. I think it's probably 50-50 at the minute, maybe a 60% chance. I'm not getting into lighting because what you can't see in here. I mean, I'm in the back room of the house, it's just normal lighting. However, I have two giant soft boxes that I've always used for these videos. I kind of don't want them in the garden office because they're big and bulky and on big stands with tripod legs poking out. So I'm hoping that I can put together some lighting. And this is where the video series, so I will be starting to make videos about how I got there, what choices I had, what options I had, and what choices I made. I will be making a series of videos, and probably I'm thinking there'll be probably 3 or 4 videos of getting everything up to now. And I think, but it's from here is probably where the videos will be a little bit more important for everyone watching, because things like lighting, for example, obviously I do YouTube videos, not everyone does, but I'm purposefully leaving the lighting just blank for now. I'll use a lamp or whatever in there for now, and just plug it into a socket, because I don't know what kind of lighting I really want or need until I've got my equipment in there and I know where the layout is and where everything's going. And again, I'm sort of gonna have to make that up as I go along. Yeah, there's also things like, I know I've touched on this before, so I'll just briefly say, things like soundproofing. I've never been a particularly loud worker. It's at the bottom of the garden, so it's not joined on to any neighbours or anything. So I don't know how soundproof I need it. At the same time, there's a part of me thinking, well, if I'm in there recording an AMA and the kids next door are playing in their garden, I don't know how loud that's going to come across on video. So this is what I'm trying to say, is where the videos will hopefully become a bit more useful in time, is because a lot of it right now is just trial and error. And then what I'm going to do is in 6 months time sort of look back and go, right, now I need to soundproof the whole thing. How do I do that? So I think what I'll probably be doing is getting through this winter, and then after the winter I'll probably build some additional interior walls, and that's going to be potentially a bit of a nightmare to do inside a wooden structure because wood expands in the heat, but we'll see. So yeah, so there's lots to do, lots to cover, but getting started is the hardest bit. So yeah, I've not managed. I've recorded, in fact, I was just having a look earlier on my desktop here. I've got one massive long time lapse of me emptying the old shed and bringing it down and then digging ditches and then building retaining walls, leveling out the ground, and then eventually building the cabin. This goes on for about an hour of super fast time lapse, because it's about 2 weeks of work. And I was sort of looking at that going, well, I'm not going to just play an hour long time lapse. That's ridiculous. But I want it to be a bit better than that, and I can't really start on these videos properly until I've done the cabin and got everything in there, because at the moment I'm just busy building. So yeah, there we go. That's a huge long rant on the cabin that you didn't need. That, my friends, is the end of this week's AMA. Thank you to everyone involved. Please do keep them coming. I love all these questions, big, small, fun, serious, whatever. You name it, ask me it. Hence the term ask me anything. However, to prove that you've made it this far into the video, and if you want a high five in next week's video, then comment the word lockdown, because Dan Mace has posted a video saying lockdown shenanigans. Other than that, I hope you have a good weekend. I'll see you next week. Cheers.